Hello, everyone. Welcome to Sakuta Scholars. Thank you. This is Mark Marin, and today I'm going to bring you something a little bit different, kind of like viewing things a little bit different about Japanese society and Japanese culture and the way that Japanese, how those things have led to the kind of the stereotypes or, you know, the characteristics we think that are traditionally Japanese, but actually they might have their roots more in our society than in the West. Take time, for example. You know, Japanese are very famous for being on time. Their trains are on time. The buses run on time. Work starts at a certain time in the morning. It ends at a certain time. Holidays are taken at a certain time. All these things are typical of Japanese society. They restrict all of their time to categories, to certain points that they need to fulfill their duties. They're needing time to do all these things. But that concept of time, being on time and having a time schedule, that was not Japanese. Up until the Meiji era, before the Meiji era, which is about 1868, before that, Japanese time was very relative. And there are many reports of foreigners who had visited Japan during the Edo period, which is between 1600 and 1860-something. Many foreigners who had visited Japan in Dejima down in Nagasaki area always reported that Japanese were never on time. Why was that? I mean, we don't think of Japanese that way, but that was the tradition. That was the characteristic that most foreigners didn't like. They weren't on time. Now, why weren't they on time? Well, first of all, the concept of time up until the Meiji era in Japan was very different than our concept in the West. They didn't have any mechanical clocks, for example. There were some water clocks, but even time was all relative. For example, there are temples that would use incense. They would burn incense, and when the incense would burn down, they would ring a gong, and that would tell everybody that it's time for this, or it's this time. It's not necessarily 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, but it's this time. And they divided their night and day into 12 segments, and, you know, and I can get into the particulars, but basically it was all relative, or what they call in Japanese a daitai, relative time. So time was always kind of a floating thing, and it changed for season, because the sunset changed, the sunrise changed. Seasons changed time, so time was very flexible. But in the Meiji era, the whole point of opening Japan up to the world and to world trade and to world business and to world thinking was to also join the world and live at the same kind of standard that the world lived in. And of course, they changed their clothes, they changed the way they approached their government, they changed the way that they did military, they also approached it from a colonial sense, like England and a lot of the other countries around the world that were doing colonies, Spain, England, Portugal, and such. But one thing they really adopted quickly and made it part of their own culture was time. They started to adopt mechanical clocks, clocks that you can hold, that you can wear, that you can keep in your pocket. Town clocks became part of the society. And then the whole point of being on time started to be taught to Japanese people, that there has to be a control, there has to be a situation where you get to places on time. So this change also brought a change in time in terms of how they measured time. They adopted the 24-hour clock. They adopted minutes and seconds, which they didn't have. You can't have minutes or seconds on an incense clock, per se. You know, it's everything's relative. But now with a mechanical clock, you can see seconds and minutes specifically, so you can now have more precise time. That also reflected in their use of time in terms of their year. Now they adopted more of a Western calendar. Before that, they would use the calendar that was based on, of course, on emperors, but on eras. So, for example, like I said in this talk already, I talked about the Edo era, the Edo Jidai, that ran from 1600 to about 1860-something. That's, you know, 200-some-odd years. That was their calendar. They based everything during that time. But starting with the Meiji era, they had two calendars or two ways of measuring years and time, general time. One was by the name of the emperor. So when the emperor became emperor until he died, that would be an era. But within that, that era would still be divided by the Western calendar, the Gregorian calendar of 12 months. And then they followed the January through December calendar. The number of days were the same. They just adopted that and divided their emperor's time into Western calendar time. That way, any Westerner who would come to Japan from that point could, if they arrived in July in the Western calendar, it would be July in Japan. So by doing that, Japan started to teach itself to have time as an important element of what they do. Time for the Japanese takes precedence over many things. For example, taking a holiday. Japanese companies and Japanese workers have this tradition of showing to work on time in the morning early, maybe having a morning exercise. You know, they go out there and they do the little exercise together as a group, go in, sit down and start doing their work. And they work overtime, of course, overtime, okay? Now, in my experience of 30 plus years here in Japan, that is kind of more of a stereotypical kind of perception of time and overwork in Japan. Yes, there are people who work overtime. Yes, there are people that do that. But basically, the people who do that, I would say they have allocated themselves to do that. They know they're going to be working overtime. They have given themselves duties that they know will take extra time to do. The overtime work or the duties that you have is based on what you do. Me, as a teacher, I worked overtime sometimes to meet students or to do grading and to do papers. And of course, in America, I worked overtime that way. And it's compensated. Japan is compensated overtime, but it's not as strict as it is. It's not strictly followed because people are kind of, this is the cultural thing. People are kind of ashamed. I couldn't get my work done in time. And so I have to work overtime, but I don't necessarily want to be paid for the overtime because it's my fault. They take responsibility that way. So based on the kind of job you have, you know, overtime is necessary. Based on your position, overtime might be a way of showing people that you're willing to work hard. So if you're a boss or an upper management and you're working overtime, that is not necessarily supposed to be pressure on the other person to work overtime with them, but it's more of like saying, I'm willing to work with you overtime to get these things done. So there is kind of a balance that way. But now, especially since the pandemic is now over, but since that time, this idea of overtime and overwork or staying in certain places for a long time is now really getting out of favor. People go home now. In my office here, people go home when they need to go home. They finish the day at 5:30. By 6 o'clock, they're gone. And it's not overtime. It's just that they're wrapping up the day, the final 15, 20 minutes, and then, boom, they get out the door. And they go home. The next day, I always come here about a half an hour early because the building opens a half an hour early for me. So I just get there a half hour early, clock in, and I start to work early. You know, and I have lots of little things to do, so it's for me, it's more of extra time. I'm not necessarily paid for it, but it doesn't matter to me. It's just I am doing it. I am controlling the time allotment that I have for myself, and that's okay. Each person that I've noticed now has taken more responsibility to control the time that they have to do things, and I think that's good. Now, another thing good about time in Japan is that Japanese people now are taking holiday time. And holiday time is very important, obviously, because people need to relax and take a break from everything. But holiday time now, it controls what the country does. It actually, the holidays in Japan control the economy. You know, there are certain times like Golden Week or the Obon or the summer holiday. There's the Fuyu Yasumi, the winter holiday, and the Haru Yasumi, the spring holiday. All of these times are put together. During these times, different companies put together packages, ways of inspiring people to take a holiday, take a trip, go for a drive, go visit a certain amusement park or a castle or a historical place, or even travel abroad. These times now are part of the economy. And I think that's important because a lot of times we forget that holiday and holiday times are part of how your country survives. I mean, in America, I know that, you know, Memorial Day weekend is traditionally the first weekend of summer. So people take a holiday and they go someplace. You know, the 4th of July weekend is their barbecue time. You go to the park, you take a break and go someplace and do that. And Thanksgiving, everyone flies home to go visit their family and eat turkey. You know, this is part of the economy. There are businesses that rely on these holidays, and Japan is into that. And with the infrastructure in Japan of trains and buses and airplanes, which run on time, we're talking within seconds on time, it's very reliable for Japanese people to get someplace. They know they have enough time to get in the car, get to someplace, to get on the plane, to get to this station, to get to there, to get to that, to get to the place that they want to be. So they don't waste time. By being on time, Japanese culture doesn't waste time. And that is one thing that I've learned to appreciate living here, is that there is no wasted time. Even if you're working overtime, it's not wasted time. You're working overtime to accomplish something you need to get done. That is part of the culture. That kind of thing really appeals to me. So taking a holiday is a way of allocating your time. You know when you're going to take that holiday. You know when it's going to happen. The country knows when it's going to happen. So all hotels, the transportation system, tour guides, tour planning, everything is planned. Restaurants get more food. They hire more part-time staff. There's the whole economy turns when it's a holiday time. And it's really nice that way. The other thing about time that really impresses me in Japan and it has given me a greater appreciation for things is kind of time that they allocate for events. Now, in America, and I'm a musician, I'm used to time being where you do a few rehearsals for a thing, maybe 1 or 2 weeks or at the most a month before a project. You do these things, and then when you're done those rehearsals and whenever, it's time for the concert, and you do the concert. Boom. So your time allocation is very limited, but there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of expectations of you to perform well to make that concert successful. Whereas here in Japan, people will plan a year in advance for the concert, for the main concert, and they will schedule rehearsals throughout the year. They understand that some people can't be at all the rehearsals. So some people, you know, can make a few rehearsals here, some people make it here, but all the people make all the rehearsals closer to the time of the concert. Basically, it's a way of controlling time and controlling practice and controlling how you develop in your program. And you can monitor that throughout the year. And if something goes wrong, you have time to find a replacement if somebody's sick or somebody gets injured or something happens. If there's something unforeseen, you have extra time to account for that. You know, and there's not such a panic. They don't really panic about that. So time for events is really, really nice. They give themselves a lot of time to prepare. Short projects really don't exist here. There's really very few things that I've ever encountered in Japan where it's like, oh, next week, can we do this? No, they've already planned it a few months in advance, and they're just going to start initiating the process to get it done by the deadline or whatever the time is for that event. So you never feel rushed, or you never feel pressure. Sometimes, I'm the opposite, actually. I feel kind of bored because, like, I know my music or I know what I need to do. Let's get it over with. But I understand that not everyone feels the same as I do. So in order to make sure that everyone feels the same at the same time to ensure the success of whatever that event or project is, they use time. Everything's all in good time. And that is a very positive thing. I mean, having extra time to do something and to do it well is really nice. Overall, the time here that I've been in Japan, my feeling is that I've gotten a greater appreciation of what time is, on the feeling of time. Time is in Japan is very convenient. It's very relaxing. And I would say it's very advantageous. I mean, they do plan their time well. So when I know things are going to happen well in advance, it's very advantageous for me to plan and get prepared. And the time here is very reliable. I know when the office is going to be open. I know when the doors of the building will be open. I know when the buses will run on time. I know the trains will be on time, Shinkansen, the bullet trains, even the airplanes. And I know that if it's not on time, they will make it right. They will apologize. They will make me feel they're thinking about me, and that they don't want me to be upset or to be inconvenienced. So people make sure that if there is a waste of time or a wrong time or something that's late that happens, that I will feel relaxed and be taken care of, because they understand that time is precious. I think that feeling of being on time and that feeling of having time to do things and feeling that all things will come in good time makes Japan a very comfortable place to live. It really does. So easy to live here. And you can rely on the time that you come here. I hope that's, I hope you got some, a feeling of time this way. Okay, I won't waste your time anymore. So thank you very much. This is Sakuta Scholars. My name is Mark Marin. If you have any comments or questions about time or anything about Japan, anytime, send me an email at mark.marin@nsg.gr.jp. Marin is M-A-R-I-N, Mark is M-A-R-K, and there's a dot between, so that should be easy to follow. Thank you very much for tuning in, and I hope to hear from you soon. Okay, everyone take care, and sayonara.